Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Pregnant ladies and little kids better get the hell out of the way because I am running. I'm like Forrest Gump, dude. I am running. The Titanic was the biggest ship on the ocean, but that didn't mean it was unsinkable.
Okay. I want you each to use ombudsman in a sentence next week.
I got one for you. My name is Kevin, the official ombudsman. You like apples?
All righty, welcome into another edition of the JPP Pod. We got the normal crew. Yep, that's LJ's voice you hear. We got LJ and Pops with us.
Finally back.
I know, it looks like the listener can't see this, but he might have pulled out some hair while editing the last pod because Uncle Tony he loves poking the bear, and he knows that LJ is listening to every little bit of it.
Especially the things I cut, man.
But we do want to say thanks to Uncle Tone for hopping on with us last week. It was fun jumping on, but we got some fun stuff to get to this week, and I kind of want to kick it off with America's team has has topped the most value. So I'll back up just a second. Forbes just released the top 50 most valued sports franchises. And topping the list for the fourth straight year is none other than the Dallas Cowboys at $5 billion.
With a B, with a big B.
With a big old B. The rest of the list kind of goes, it was two Yankees who moved up from number four, I believe, last year. Then Real Madrid, Barcelona, and then number five, the New York Knickerbockers. We'll get into that in a second because I just don't understand how that franchise is the fifth most valued. But I was looking at some of the stuff from the Cowboys and kind of reading some of the Forbes article, and it was just kind of interesting. I want to get your guys' thoughts. The defending NFC East champs are the most valued franchise despite losing to the Rams last year in the divisional round, marking the 23rd straight season the boys have been kept out of the NFC title game. Right now, the Redskins and the Lions have longer title game droughts. But despite that, the Cowboys had 9 of the 50 highest rated sports TV broadcasts in 2008. And they
were
all
regular season. Yeah.
All regular season games.
Well, that's all they get.
That's all they play. But yeah, true.
The Patriots were the only NFL team or team in general with more than 4 games among the top 50. So, I mean, that just shows you. Say what you will about the Cowboys and their success, but man, eyeballs tuned to watch. What were your thoughts when y'all saw the Cowboys top the list yet again? Did you have any pops?
Well, I guess I wasn't completely surprised. I mean, because love them or hate them, people want to watch them to hate them or to love them. And I was amazed that Jerry Jones has just what he bought them for $150 million.
Oh, my
and
God.
And they're estimated
30
to be
years
worth
ago, yeah.
$5 billion, which is a number that's almost unfathomable to me, but probably
it's more than
Jerry Jones because he's not going to sell them.
That number, like you said, that billion, it's like what LJ brought up. It was a month or so ago where he just showed you how big our brain can't fathom how big a billion is, and $5 billion up from 130. Yeah. Say what you will about him as an owner, but boy, has he made that value.
Yep.
Made that franchise. LJ, so what about
valuable.
You? Did you just roll your eyes reading it, or what was your thoughts when you saw them sitting in number one?
I mean, it was the thing that I knew. I mean, obviously they've been. I'm looking at the graph right now of them over the past. They've been the number one franchise in the world over the past 4 years, and so you couldn't expect anything other than that because why would their value have gone grown less than some other teams. I feel like we talk about the NFL being dead all the time, and I still believe that they're on that pathway. We might get into more why later, but you know, they're still growing. They're definitely still growing, and the Cowboys being number one on top of everybody else because of that crazy man's oil derrick decision making. I mean, he's a genius businessman. He's a bad owner, but a genius businessman.
Fact. I mean, you can't dispute that as far as business. Some of the notes I had from Jerry Jones, and it was some of that stuff in the article that just fascinated me, was that Jerry Jones generates an estimated $340 million in sponsorships and premium seating revenue at AT&T Stadium, which is twice as much as any team.
Wow.
And then I saw, since buying the Cowboys, like Dad mentioned, he bought them at $150 million 30 years ago. He's really revolutionized stadium sponsorships. He broke away from the NFL share revenue system, launched a stadium management firm, the Legends Hospitality with the Yankees, and, oh, by the way, opened a $1.5 billion practice facility. It's just printing money is what Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboy does. And I think it goes back to your sentence, L. Say what you will about him as an owner slash maybe GM or scout or whatever when it comes to building a team for the Dallas Cowboys. When it comes to making the money, he does it tenfold. Kind of what you talked about, I was looking at there was a graph that showed that the NFL, like you said, I do think it's slowly fading away as far as, you know, there's a lot of issues they're facing, whether it be how they punish different things in domestic violence or criminal cases or just the CTE drama that's going on and how safe the league actually is. More than half of the top 50 of Forbes' list of the most valued franchises are football teams. So the NFL is still doing very, very
Kevin,
well.
Kevin, I wanted to ask you, so I saw that too. Now it said our football squads. They got to mean NFL football squads.
Yeah, they do, specifically.
Surely,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, hey, 20, Alabama of the 50, and Texas A&M of the 50 and some
NFL
of those
teams,
some of those college football teams make a buttload of money. But
but I don't think technically any of those can make the list because they are part of non-profit public schools.
Non-profit, yeah. Okay.
So I don't believe any of those have made this list. I mean, Alabama would be the one to look. Let me do a control F real quick. Nope, nothing. So yeah, college teams I don't think make this list. But. Yeah, NFL teams.
Well, and I just think the demise of football may be too prematurely reported because, I mean, I know I know all three of us sitting here, and Uncle Tony is, I mean, we're excited about football coming. I mean, like you said, Kevin, more than half of the top 50 most profitable franchises are NFL football teams. I mean, it's a hell of a thing. I mean, I'm so excited about this season. I'm ready. I can't wait.
To break it down, the NFL had 29 teams in the top 50. The MLB had 8, down 1 from the previous year. Soccer had 7, and the NBA had 6. The NBA was the big jump as far as in the past since 2012, where there was just 2 teams in the top 50. Now there's 6 in the top 50, and I think 2 in the top 10 or so, 2 or 3 in the top 10. LJ, you looked like you might have had something you were going to say the NFL's.
Well, I want to look up something just based off of what you said real quick. I want to see, you said 2012 was when the NBA jumped or had two.
Well, since
and they've
2012.
Since let me see. Yeah, I'm kind of curious, when did Adam Silver take over? 2014. So I wonder if that has a lot to do with their growth.
Well, also, and the Dallas Mavericks won the title in 2011. I'm sure that has a big...
Yeah, people actually got excited, you know? You want to own a Dallas franchise, I think, is the lesson here.
Well, but don't you think NBA does somewhat bridge the gap between soccer and football? Football is an American sport. Yeah. Soccer is a world sport. NBA is an American, but becoming a world sport. Yeah. So I think it bridges that gap a little bit. And I think you'll see more NBA teams in this list as we go about. Now, the fact that the New York Knicks are the top NBA team in value blows my freaking mind. I think that's wrong. I think they made a mistake.
You think it's a typo in there?
I think it's a typo. They must have meant the LA War, or the Warriors, the
Golden State Warriors, or the
Golden
Lakers
State Warriors
or something.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Well, the reason I feel like the NFL teams are so high on the list, and we're seeing the jump in the NBA teams, like we mentioned, it's got to have something to do with those huge TV deals. I saw on Forbes' article, they added up the TV deals that the NFL alone makes, and they make $260 million per team last year on different TV wow. contracts through CBS, Fox, ESPN, you name
right.
it. And then just recently, ESPN and Turner Broadcasting spent huge on NBA TV rights. So that's why I think you're seeing the NFL dominate, because they've always dominated TV. That just like the Cowboys, we talked about the Cowboys on regular season games. Just what for what it is, Dad talked about it. We're going to watch regular season NFL, and that's where they dominate, because the MLB, they have so many games. We, you know, you kind of go in and out of whether you're going to watch the regular season. And
well,
NBA,
and there's definitely
has so many.
There's definitely something to be said of if you can buy a ticket or watch from your couch, would you rather go to or watch MLB game, a baseball game?
A baseball game?
I'd
yeah,
rather be
rather
there
go to or
watch
it on
in person if I could. An baseball.
MLB, I probably would rather go to.
Yeah, so NBA, would you rather watch it on TV or watch it in person?
That's a much tougher, it's a much tougher argument.
Fair enough, but NFL, even
couch,
if you, no matter
couch,
what seat you have,
couch.
Fact.
Yeah. I'd like to throw so on think, Red Zone Channel and sit on my recliner.
Even better, yeah, watching more than one game. Yeah, that's great point. And so that's you're right. That's the TV ability of the NFL is a big reason why it's where it is and has been for so long.
It's perfect. It's a perfect TV game. It's a perfect yeah. HD television game. I mean, it just, it matches up perfectly.
Yeah.
So I guess the ultimate question is, the NFL is still dominating, but do we think, say, 5 years from now, no other NFL team made the top five. So 5 years from now, do we see the NFL slowly coming down to the pack and other teams catching up, or
I mean,
what
I think
do you think?
The question is these TV contracts for me, right? I think the question is what are the lengths of these TV contracts? Are they signing stuff now that's bigger than what they were previously signing? And so my gut would tell me that these contracts are generally for like decade ish lengths.
Yeah.
And
like
so
that.
If that's the case, then we won't see the NFL's drop off for 10 years. I mean, we'll see, but I feel like that's that it doesn't matter whether or not it loses popularity. They're going to grow in value until these contracts start running out. And then at that point, I do think we start seeing that decline whenever that is. We start seeing it, and I think it'll happen pretty quickly.
Well, but so the decline is because of the issues I think you mentioned before. CTE mainly, probably number one, right?
It's definitely it's the top two. Right. There's CTE and then there's disciplinary action.
But what I'm getting to is if there's TV money for another 10 years, say, or maybe we're 3 or 4 years into the contract. So let's say it's 7 years left.
Seven.
TV
sure.
Money, whatever. There's so much money there to be made that that's going to keep people coming to it. That's going to keep athletes playing the game. And so I just don't think it's going to go away as long as there's that much money in it.
Well, I think to some degree, though, because for the players, there's not that much more money than other leagues, right?
Well,
like we've talked about a number of times what a baseball
money
player
in the
could
NBA,
earn versus.
Right?
And yeah. Yeah.
And it's guaranteed.
And you don't have to, yeah. And you don't have to worry about not being able to go run out in the park with your grandchildren when you're, 60 years old or whatever.
Where I think it starts changing, I think this is right where I'm just picking up with what I feel like LJ's going is in 20 years, the kids growing up, you're going to see, if I could be a really good running back or I can go play in the NFL, NBA,
there's no question.
Not even a question.
Not even a question.
The money's just not there. And these contracts, go look at what we talked about. I know this will be LJ's favorite topic, but we talked about free agency in NBA. All those guys are signing. Tobias Harris just signed a $158 million contract, and he's, I think, known as probably the third best player on any NBA team. I don't think you're getting him as a superstar, and he's getting paid more than quarterbacks are getting paid in the NFL, and it's all guaranteed. He can't be cut if, for whatever reason, his knee stops working. He
well,
still gets
I do
money.
Want to say, to jump on the other side of the argument, because I'm apt to devil's advocate myself all the time, but the Tobias Harris is that's who you said, right?
Mm-hmm. That's the name I brought up. Yeah.
So he's one of, you know, let's see. So there's 30 NBA teams and there's what, 12 players on a 12 team?
12 to 15 on each roster, yeah.
So we're talking about something like 360 players.
Much more jobs in the NFL. Whatever. Yep, very fair point.
So he is one of the best 360 players in the league, no doubt whatsoever. And one of the best 360 players in the league in the NFL might not even make the starting lineup of their prospective team.
And I think that's so, a very fair, and that's something that gets lost when people are like, a role player makes this in the NBA. But yeah, that role player in the NBA is the seventh best player on his team, where that defensive tackle that didn't make near the money in the NFL might be the 35th best player on the team or something. So, and that's something that gets lost in what you'll see it on Twitter, where the NFL players start complaining. And I get it. When you're those top dogs like DeAndre Hopkins, it's like, man, this guy's a role player, makes $80 million, and I'm just trying to get an $80 million contract. And we just talked about last week, he might be the best receiver in football. So I think you have a fair point, though. There's more NFL players than there is NBA players, and that's why you see these contracts get skyrocketed.
Yeah.
But I just think it'll be – I think you're on to something where the TV deals – that's where the money's made, and that's where we'll see. If the TV deals don't run out for another 10 years, then yeah, the NFL is still going to be king for the next 10 years. But in 15, 20 years, when these 12, 10-year-olds start becoming real athletes in high school and they start making the decision, or college, and they go, can I go to play college basketball or college football, and where do they spend their time? I would imagine parents would push them away from football. Dad's already talked about if he could go back, he might – would think about holding us out of football. And this is someone who loves the game. So
yeah,
I think that's interesting.
Well,
I agree with that. It's my favorite sport in the world. And I think if I had a son today asking me if I could get him a helmet or some, you know, a sleeve, then I'm getting that Allen Iverson sleeve all day, every day, because I want him to be an NBA player well before an NFL player. No doubt.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Kev, that parents are going to start encouraging their children to play sports other than football or boxing, which I do want to get to in a little bit, is another sport I love. But the fact is, something else I was going to add earlier, there are still a lot of football players that are in the booth that are not brain silly. So you can play football and not have those effects so prominent so early in life. And I think the image is, that's not going to happen to me. That's what everybody thinks about everything.
Everything.
Sure. Yeah. Everything. Yeah. That won't happen to me. Yeah. So I still think football has some life, but I think that both of y'all hit the nail on the head in that when parents start pushing encouraging their children to play sports other than sports that have CTE dangers, which any reasonable parent's going to do.
Yeah,
that will be the death of those sports.
Right. You're going to start seeing those pictures. Like right now, I love when Monday Night Football do this. They'll show the picture of the quarterback, Jared Goff's wearing, he's little 5-year-old Jared Goff's wearing a helmet and with a football in his hand. And now those parents aren't going to be throwing a little plastic helmet on you. They're going to be throwing, like LJ said, the basketball sleeve on your arm and the basketball in your hand, Nerf goal.
Or putting a club in your golf club in your hand or something.
Well, that's a great, Yeah, baseball bat, tennis racket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Soccer.
Either way.
Soccer ball.
Oh, definitely soccer.
Now, soccer, there are potentially some CTE issues there, right, with headbutting the ball. And when you go head the ball, you can headbutt someone else going forward. There are dangers in soccer.
Well, and one of the things that I don't think soccer wants to talk about is I do think that it comes from repeated hits to the head, not bone-crushing hits to the head, right? So, football players that play linemen are a lot more susceptible to CTE than somebody that got jacked up and had a bunch of obvious concussions like Steve Young.
Because it's that constant.
Repeated. Yeah, exactly. Steve Young might escape the effects of CTE, whereas Mark Schlereth may or may not. You know what I mean? It's the constant hitting and the constant headbutting in soccer does have an effect. Although I would imagine it's way less than football. It's still something that as a parent, I think one would have to consider compared to say a basketball where you're worried about their knees more than anything else. And you can, have your life without your knees,
right?
You know?
I mean, exactly. I mean, you can have your life and you can think and you can be a productive citizen without a knee. I mean, you wouldn't want to, but
right. But people do it all the time. But people that are brain damaged, I mean, it's obviously a different conversation for a different day. But yeah, I mean, that's rough. That's a whole different set of circumstances.
I know one thing's for sure. If you're like us and you're not, and you realize pretty quick in life that you weren't going to have the ability to go play professional sports, but you still want to go watch some professional
sports.
What
would you do? What would you do if you wanted to professional sports?
You have to. Well, the best way, I guess you could try different sites, but the best way to go is go to SeatGeek.com and get your tickets over there. SeatGeek, okay. They just take all of the confusion out of the ticket buying process. They give you the green dots for the really good deals, the yellow dots for that deal's iffy, it's okay, and then the red dots for the ones you want to stay away from. Whereas those other sites, you just never know whether you're getting the bang for your buck and how well that ticket actually is. And right now, SeatGeek is trying to hook up our listeners. If you go to SeatGeek and put in the promo code ACA for armchair... put in the promo code ACAA for Armchair All-Americans. That's one of our partners on the pod. If you put in ACAA right now, you'll get $20 off your first purchase. So right now we kind of talked about we're in the dog days of the summer. And so baseball is kind of the big deal. And you want to go catch a foul ball. You want to go to the game, hit SeatGeek up, put in the promo code ACAA, get your first couple of beers on the pod, on us, and go watch the game. SeatGeek. Life's an event, and they have the tickets.
Yes, sir.
We mentioned real quick before we get off these franchises, Dad. How the hell are the Jimmy Dolan led New York Knicks number 5 in the most valued NBA franchise? That makes no sense,
Kevin. I absolutely do not have an answer to that. I have zero. I mean, the fact that they're in New York, the most
New York, is that it?
That's it. That's the answer.
That's the answer.
Do you see where the Giants are on the list? The Giants are number 10.
I
mean,
well, at least they've won a couple Super Bowls in my lifetime.
I'm just saying, if you want to own a team, you want to own it in New York. It's just a fact. Or LA. Those are the other options, but New York is a place to own something. If you can own anything in New York, then you're
is it just because
rich.
I don't know. It just blows my mind. I mean, I guess Madison Square Garden and the Knicks are still something, but when's the last? I can't tell you the last time I've seen
because
the
it
Knicks
hadn't
were going to play a nationally
lifetime.
Televised Kevin, game.
You don't well, know it. It hasn't happened.
Well, there was like 5 or 6 years ago or whatever where Melo was still like one of the best scores in the game. And there might've been a game where I was like, ooh, the Knicks are playing on Thursday night. I want to watch it. And at least in the past 5+ years, there's not been a game where I thought, oh, the Knicks are playing. Let me catch that.
Look, here's the deal. Can I shut you down real quick?
Please.
If the value of a team had anything to do with how good they were, do you think the Cowboys would be number 1 for the last
Fair.
4 years?
Fair. The Cowboys are always
talking
relevant.
Trash about the Knicks.
Well, no, because the Cowboys are always relevant. They're going to come down to, we've talked about this before, week 17, they're going to be 8-7.
Yeah, they're going to come down to right
ninth,
before the playoffs, and it's not going to damn matter because they're not going to make it because they lose to Philadelphia every year.
They're going to be the best. The Cowboys are going to be the best mediocre team ever. Whereas the Knicks win 14 games in a given season.
I think I'd rather have that because at least you have the excitement of the draft. The Cowboys do nothing in their offseason every year because they can't afford to because they pay Zeke too much money and Dak too much money and they can't afford to do anything and they can't get a draft pick. So I think I'd rather have a losing team than a mediocre team. As a Broncos fan, I think I can definitely attest to how much a mediocre team sucks.
Whoa. Hey, I can honestly tell you, I would rather like the Cowboys than the New York Knicks. I mean, because there is hope. There is a possibility that things could come together and the Cowboys could be in it. The Knicks just suck. I mean, they just suck. They have bad ownership. They've had bad GMs.
Oh, okay.
They've had
That's
bad players.
Unique to them, not the Cowboys.
I mean, the list goes on and on.
Right, right. That's nothing like the Cowboys. None of those things apply.
I'm not going to take this, LJ.
How's the head coaching?
Dez caught it. Dez caught it, and they should have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the only way that their maybe greatest quarterback to play in the last 10 years made it to a Super Bowl. Well, no, Tom Brady. But Tony Romo was one of the greatest quarterbacks we've seen, and the only reason he made it to the Super Bowl was because he was announcing. So The Cowboys are garbage.
You're lucky I didn't have a mute button, because as soon as that sentence ended with one of the greatest quarterbacks we've seen, I would have just put a period and muted
stopped
you.
It. Yeah, I thought, oh my God, he said that, Kevin. I heard him say that. I heard him.
Look, we had this conversation. I think listeners should also to think this through. Would you rather have Tony Romo with Troy Aikman's best team or Troy Aikman with Tony Romo's best team? And I think that answers real quickly how good Tony Romo actually is. I think a lot of people would have a hard time saying Tony Romo's not one of the greats. I mean,
this right here is music to my ears. I beat this drum every single day at work.
And he could not hardly make it to the damn playoffs. So you're talking about the Knicks are garbage. Come on now.
You give Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, and Jay Novacek to freaking Tony Romo? They were a dynasty anyway. I'm sorry.
I was about to say they didn't win.
I know, but then okay. So here's the thing: is you give them Jason Garrett, and they're an 8-win team. So just throwing that out there.
Well, if Jerry Jones would have let Jimmy Johnson be the coach for a little longer, it would have been amazing.
They're the number one value in the world as a sports franchise. So don't even tell me the Knicks being number five doesn't make any sense. I'm just saying.
Before we pivot to the next topic, though, I just want to bounce back to one thing you said, LJ. You would rather your favorite team be terrible and suck than be mediocre and in the playoff hunt every year. They might miss it a lot of years, but they're in it.
Yeah, I think so.
That's what he says.
I think there's more hope in that.
I disagree. Says the guy who had the Super Bowl not too long ago from the Broncos. I mean, you've been there.
Yeah, and then we've also been mediocre and sucked since then, and I'd rather have the suck team. That's my opinion.
But the Knicks always suck. The Knicks sucked for the past 18, 20 years, and all they do is spend their money on mediocre players instead of getting... We could do this all day. I feel like we could argue this all day, and the LJ is going to be just as stubborn as I will be, and we won't admit that we're wrong.
That doesn't sound like us at all.
I wonder where y'all get that from.
I know Mom's got the answer. She's listening to this right now.
I think she Mom and exactly Tammy both have the answer.
All right. So switching topics a little bit, sticking with the NFL, though, we were bringing up, you know, some quarterbacks. And we talked some Romo. We were talking a little Zeke and different guys. Right now, I feel like it's the time of year where if your favorite team's skill position guy is in the news, probably ain't good. And the main one I got to talk about is Odell Beckham Jr. decided now is a great time to go do the big GQ interview and a big article. And he had a few interesting things to say. Among them, he talked about how disrespected he felt by the Giants. And what really caught my eye was he says that he is the reason he kept the Giants brand alive over the past few years. Is he getting a little too big for his britches there, or is he on to something, Pops?
Yes, he's getting too big for his britches. Yes, that rubbed me the wrong way. You know what? He's probably right, though. I mean,
he's definitely right.
He's right. I mean, he had that comment where, you know, we were 5'11 and still playing in prime time. And because, I mean,
he was the reason they were playing in prime time, which maybe.
That one catch that he made like 6 years ago is the reason that they've played in primetime any games.
Did you see, by the way, you know he's got this car, right? This car that the hood ornament is him making that catch.
No, that's awesome.
The hood ornament on the car is him making that catch. It is kind of cool. Odell Beckham seemed a little full of himself, but he is an amazing athlete. If he keeps his head together, he did say Baker Mayfield danced better than he did. I mean, I don't know if he said that, but he said Baker Mayfield had a lot of moves. He said he might have even danced better than Odell.
Wow, that's high praise.
Yeah, I just have to back though. I mean, yes, he was part of the reason they're in primetime games, but also a reason they're in primetime games is like LJ mentioned. Say what you will about whether they were good or not, but they're a New York franchise, and I guess that makes you a valuable one. And people are watching the Giants, and even when they suck, people are watching them. And the Giants
watching because Eli Manning could go off at any minute, right?
Well, I mean, last year, Saquon Barkley was a big reason they were still those games. And the Giants brand is they've put together Super Bowl teams. They have Super Bowl winners. And yes, Beckham was really good, but the Giants brand is a bigger brand than Odell Beckham Jr. He might have kept them relevant last year, but he didn't keep the brand alive.
Well, and I will say, you've got a good point, because I think the Cowboys and the Giants are like the ante of each other, where the Cowboys are the team that you look at every year and say, they should win the Super Bowl, and then they don't even make the playoffs. Whereas the Giants are the team that you look at every year and say, I don't see how they win four games, and then somehow they've won Super Bowls with those teams. So you've got to watch Giant games, because you never know when that 9-17 is going to
make. Because somehow that goofy-looking Eli Manning is going to put together a six-game run where he wins a damn Super Bowl and throws one up to David Tyree.
Right.
There's just there's more of a brand. I thought when he was onto something when he said, like, he's kind of the reason they were in primetime games, because, yes, ESPN loves showing the Monday night pregame camera that just focuses on Odell Beckham Jr. and shows him doing one-hand catches. And, yes, that's right. But did he keep the brand alive? No, I don't think that. And then there was a ton of areas where he talked about how he was taking shots at the coaches and GMs, and then talked about how playing for the Giants oftentimes made him consider retirement and all this stuff. The Giants did nicely give him a $95 million contract. So it wasn't all bad while he was there in New York. He's now built a brand for himself.
About the money.
Yeah, the money helps.
Yeah. It does help. No, it helps. It helps. But, like, knowing that you're on a perennial loser's team, I mean, that does suck.
Yeah, well, when you're cashing that $90 million paycheck, you know, it helps make that losing team a little better.
Yeah, I'll let you know when I cash that check from this podcast. I'll let you know how it feels.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but we're winners. We're winners here. Winners.
Yeah, I know. See, that's the thing. Yeah, every week we come in and we're the best podcast on the air. So, you know, it's a little, you know, I'll take the paycheck we get.
It kind of, when I was reading that article, it just seems like I wonder if OBJ's learning. There was times in New York where I felt like the spotlight kind of was a little much, and he made much ado about nothing and got in the news for reasons that didn't necessarily need to be, and then decides to do the GQ interview. And there were some interesting things on there where they actually talked to him about, because it's been on Twitter where people question OBJ's sexuality and whether he could possibly be gay or not. And they opened up. He had a really cool topic where he talked about it. And there was a lot of that interview that I found was really interesting. But then the stuff where he had to bring up all this Giant stuff, it just is like, why get into this? Why get into the weeds? Why get down in there? You're over, you're in Cleveland. He's, like you talked about, Dad, he talks nothing. He always great about Baker Mayfield and seems to really love it. And I just wonder, was the New York drama part of him being in New York and being in the spotlight, or is there something about OBJ and the drama? And is that going to follow him to Cleveland? Like, what if they start 2-3 or 3-5? Is all of a sudden drama in Cleveland now too? Is he hitting nets there?
Yes, the answer is yes. I mean, Odell Beckham has drama wherever he goes, and he will have it in Cleveland. And he is an amazing talent. And I think it's all in one package. You have to deal with the whole package if you're going to take
it. I think he's one of those guys. If they start out 6-1 and he's balling, he's going to be the most fun ever and talk about how awesome Cleveland is, and he's going to be the best locker room guy. But as soon as there's a 3 or 4 game skid, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Dez Bryant, where he's a great locker room guy when things are going good. But when things start to get a little down and you start hearing those whispers, and I'd say these athletes will say what they want, but start reading the tweets and all this, all of a sudden the drama starts. And speaking of, we talked about skill position guys in the news and reading tweets. One of our favorites we like to bring up here, old Le'Veon Bell, is apparently he doesn't pay attention to the haters, but he's also tired of the haters. And he took to IG this past weekend to have a public address where he just basically went off on people hating on him for his hobbies outside of football, like basketball, like rapping and other things.
Two women naked in the bed that steal his jewelry. You know, yeah, I like that.
His big point was, and you know, maybe he has a little bit of validity to it. One of the quotes I wrote down was, he said, if somebody works at Target, do you think when they work from 9 to 5, do they go home and all they do is worry about putting stuff blank on the shelves? They're trying to worry about what serial number's coming up. No, you think LeBron James is waking up every day working out? No, he's still having his Taco Tuesdays. Y'all think he's just hooping all day? Y'all think Beyonce wakes up and sings all day? And so he has a fair point. Yes, you can have hobbies and stuff, but I think, Dad, you might have been on to something. Those hobbies don't have to include like leaving practice with two naked women in your bed to steal your jewelry.
Hey, and here's the thing, Le'Veon Bell. I get it. What he said was not completely out of line. I mean, I understand his frustration, but you get paid a lot of money. You're in the national spotlight. Let that shit go. You need to let it go. You don't need to address it. And especially don't bitch about social media on social media. You know, come on. So that's how I feel about it.
Why can these players not just ignore us peons here that don't make near the money they are? Clearly, well, not as athletic, that still talk shit about them. Why can't they ignore us and just know?
It's a little easier said than done, though. I mean,
yes, it is.
He is being an idiot, and he's also, I think, like straight up wrong, because I think like what makes Michael Jordan the greatest basketball player of all time is because he was in the gym at 4 a.m. And then
He was at the car table at 4 a.m. smoking cigars, but he was in the gym.
He was at the car table at 3:30, but he was in the gym at 4. But when everybody's shouting, you're an idiot, I do think no matter how much you should be able to tune those people out, it's going to wear on you. I mean, I do think social media is a bad thing for everybody of every class level and income level and race and gender and whatever. Like, social media can kill anybody. So,
but I think
I get why he's frustrated.
But
I
think it's, if you're in that spotlight, I think what comes with that is rise above that and let that just roll off your back like duck, you know, water off a duck's back. I think that's how you should handle it. Now,
how much training do you think he's had in that? I mean, all of his training has been in how to hold a football and move forward with it. That's like literally all he's ever been given lessons on in his life. So, you know, it's not something that's easy for anybody.
Now, the NFL does give them some PR lessons, don't they? I mean, they come and talk to them about how to handle reporters. So I mean, I hear you. You're right. The most of his training has been in how to move a football down the field. But he has had some training in how to handle adverse conditions in the public eye.
He's probably got a team, too. But, you know, sometimes you're underslept and you just say something stupid in social media. You know, you say something stupid on Facebook when you're in eighth grade, but you know,
hell, I say something stupid on the just average Saturday night. So, you know, it does happen.
Yeah.
Just stick around long enough. You might do it here in the next 30 minutes.
Hell, keep listening.
Speaking of running backs, and we didn't bring this up before. Did y'all see some of the drama that Ezekiel Elliott was going through?
Tell me a little bit about it.
I did not see exactly what happened.
I saw a bunch, but I didn't see
it. It happened. I don't remember when. I think that actually happened in May, but TMZ got video of it. He was in Las Vegas, and he was put in handcuffs after knocking down a security guard, and the security guard pressed charges. The video came out. I don't think it wasn't near as bad as it was made out to be, and the NFL investigated, and they didn't punish Ezekiel Elliott. But what I didn't like from it is Ezekiel Elliott and his lawyers filed or claimed that it was extortion and that this guy was just trying to get some clout because it was Elliott and all this. And yes, it got blown out of proportion, but where there's smoke, there's fire. And a guy like Ezekiel Elliott, where we know there's been issues with him off the field, he's had tons of issues where he's done this or that and probably needs to rein in a little bit. He still, if you watch the video TMZ put out, he's still clearly the aggressor for this bouncer and goes up to him and kind of jumps at him. And the guy, I think, as he's backing down, trips. So he doesn't get pushed to the ground as it was made out to be. But the fact that they called it extortion, I just think it's like, come on. Instead of calling out this guard, just try to let it go and be the bigger man. I don't know why they had to go through that. And just another reason why I don't think Zeke's probably going to... If I'm the Cowboys, I don't think I pay Zeke after this offseason. As much as I love him, I don't think I'd give him the big contract. Do you agree, Dad?
You know, I think arguably he may be the best back in the NFL now, especially with Gurley's, whatever Gurley's got going on. You know, like I think I said last week, which I stole from Cowherd, is put Lamar Miller. Trade him and put Lamar Miller behind that line. I mean, that guy can run. He can catch. That's one of the best offensive lines in football. I mean, I might do that. Frank Gore. Shit, how old is Frank Gore now? I mean, he's still
He's about 72.
Yeah, about 72, he's still running the ball, getting five.
He's down for 72 yards a game, too.
Yards a carry, so I would have a tough time with that. That would be a very difficult decision for me if I were the enamorous owner of the Cowboys, Jerry Jones.
Hey guys, as you can tell from our lengthened tech schedule this week that we had a lot of issues. We had some technical glitches, and so this is a shortened version of our podcast for this week. We lost a lot of good material because of some recording issues and because of some memory issues and just all sorts of things. But next week we'll be back and rolling, ready to go, and thank you for listening. You can find our website at jppod.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter. You can listen to us on anywhere you get podcasts. Please subscribe for future episodes, and thank you for bearing with us. Have a nice rest of your weekend, and we'll catch up soon. Peace out.